This definitely feels like the time of year where it feels really good to get focused on goals, but it also feels like the time of the year where teachers are saying, okay, I need some ideas in order to help with classroom management, with behavior management, with getting kids to be motivated, engaged in the learning process. I think this is an essential time of the year to get off on a good note, and that's why I am bringing this episode to you, which is one behavior management idea that I think will be a game changer for goals in your classroom, and it really works. And I know it works because I have proof. I have data, and data doesn't lie. And here's another huge teacher win. You can literally implement this in your classroom tomorrow with little to no prep. And if you were thinking, girl, I need that in my teacher life, well, we're going to get into the details here in a second. But before we do that, I want to give a huge shout out to the listener of the week who left a 5-star written review on the Apple Podcast app and said, 5 stars. This is my Monday motivation. I celebrate Mondays, and waking up to a new episode is always the start of my celebration. I love implementing little things throughout the week in my classrooms that I learn from the podcast. My kids love it, and it makes me feel super cool. Well, shout out to Smiley Ray in 5th grade for that written review. I love that you are enjoying this for your 5th graders. If you are an elementary teacher, the idea that I'm about to roll out is definitely going to work. But guess what? If you are a middle school or high school teacher, this is totally going to be a game changer for those students as well. Because it's all about getting kids to hold themselves accountable, which sounds like it's impossible, but it's not, and I'm going to prove it right here, right now.
There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. We have all heard of accountability partners, essentially somebody who is going to help you do life on something that maybe you don't want to do. For example, maybe you have an accountability partner for getting up and going to the gym. Nobody wants to roll on out the bed at 5 a.m. and hit the treadmill or hit the weights. But you know that if you want to drop some weight or put on some muscle mass, that you need to be in the gym before school starts because you're not motivated to work out after school. And if you cannot relate to that, maybe I'm just projecting because that's how I feel about that situation. But you know what helps is when I have an accountability partner. When we as humans say, I might not be motivated to roll on out the bed for myself, but I know that if a teacher friend or my spouse or my significant other or a teacher BFF is going to be in the gym and I can't let them down, I have an accountability partner who is encouraging me and saying, we should do this, it would be good for us, that we would be more motivated and we're going to have better results. And that's true as professionals, and that's true in a personal way as well. Well, what if we took that exact same concept of having an accountability partner and applied it to students in our classroom settings. There are often things that we know that kids need to work on. There are often both behavior and academic situations that we see students struggling with, and we know that they would have way more success if they could set those goals, see those goals, and then have an accountability partner to help track those and see the positive progress over time. And I know that that might sound complicated. I know that that might sound kind of deep, but here's what I'm going to say. This school year, this exact concept worked exceptionally well in a first grade classroom. So if we can get first graders crushing awesome accountability goals, then I think it works for all age groups. If it works for a 6-year-old, it'll work for a 16-year-old, it'll work for a 36-year-old, it'll work personally, and it'll work professionally. And that's what I want to talk about in this episode. It's a behavior management idea that involves accountability. Because earlier this school year, that was our key character word of the month, accountability. How can students be accountable for the things that they know that they want to do and reach and achieve on both an academic and a behavioral setting? How can we get kids at a really young age seeing the momentum that can happen when we have the mindset of it's not just you managing the goal? We as the teacher and we as the school are going to help you manage and measure that goal. So let me give you the details of how this started. I partnered with the first grade students in my school district. For those of you who have been listening to the podcast for a while, you know that I get to start my day in an elementary setting. And so a lot of the work that I do in period one and period two is social and emotional learning and some SEL coaching and mentoring with elementary students and elementary teachers. And there was a class that were like, hey, let's partner. I think this would be really, really good. And it was with first grade students. And so I came to those teachers and said, you want to partner for this? Because the word of the month is accountability. And I think it would be really fun if we just did some goal tracking. I realized that first graders probably have never experienced goal tracking before, but what if we incentivize this using sticker charts, which kids are very used to? And I just want to be very clear. A sticker chart is a goal setting chart. A sticker chart is an accountability chart, but it can just be managed and tracked in a slightly different way to get even bigger and better results. Plus, a first grader, of course, they're going to love stickers. So we started looking at this and we kind of looked at our school improvement plan goals and we're trying to figure out, all right, how can we combine these things? And one of our school improvement plans is basically to decrease negative discipline referrals and increase positive discipline referrals. And if we get kids really aware of the things that they need to work on and set some really great goals, will that meet our school improvement goal of decreasing negative discipline referrals and increasing positive discipline referrals? So I helped the first grade teachers and the first grade students conduct a little experiment. It was a 3-week experiment. And after meeting with the first grade teachers on this, we came up with an idea of let's not just set the goals for students. We could set the goals as teachers, or we could have the students set the goals as students. But what if each Monday morning we kind of sat down and just had very quick but efficient and effective conversations on, here are some things that I saw last week that I think that you could work on. What are some things that you think you could work on? And what if every single student and the teacher together in partnership created 2 goals? And for some students, those were both academic goals. For some students, they were both behavior goals. And for some students, it was 1 academic and 1 behavior goal. There was the flexibility and the freedom to really meet the needs of each specific student. This was not a cookie cutter concept. It was really targeting the specific and unique needs of every single kid. So the teacher sat down with each student. They set those goals. And then we came up with this little grid that had a place for stickers. And before dismissal, before students left for the day, they got to put a sticker or not put a sticker in the box for their goal sorting chart. And those were posted in the classrooms in a visual way so kids could see and be aware of their individual progress. And in the very first week, 3 students hit 100% of their goals. Okay, so the question that you're probably asking was, well, how many first graders were there? There were approximately 20 first graders who were a part of this. And week one, heck yeah, there were 3 students who hit 100% of their goals 100% of the time. And that's a win. That's a huge win. And so then that's when I really stepped in and said to those first grade teachers, hey, can I pull those students? I want to individually pull them and just have some really great conversations and cheer them on. And I'd gotten these like special stamps off the Amazon. They were like 10 bucks, but it was like 50 different stamps that kids could pick out, and they had emojis and footballs and hearts and different words like wow and terrific. And I just pulled those students at a horseshoe table and said, oh my God, let's look at this. 100% of your goals last week were met. Look at all of these stickers. Why don't you pick out some of the special stamps, and you can just be so proud and you can give your stamp of approval. Okay, stamp of approval. That's a pun. All right. But anyways, you can take these stamps and basically let's celebrate your success. And other students were like, I wanna do stamps. Can I do stamps? And I'm like, yeah, let's talk about this. Next week, anybody who has this type of positive progress on their goals, on their goal charts, on your sticker charts, heck yes. If you're having awesome accountability and you are holding yourself accountable and making sure that the goals that you're setting with your teacher next Monday are things that are pushing yourself, right? We're not setting easy goals. We're not saying like, I will always keep my hands to myself. If you already do that, we love that. Keep doing it. But like, we are picking things that you're kind of struggling with, things that are going to push you just a little bit that could be a little hard. So we talked about how we set good goals. And then the very next week, I promised them, I'll come back with these stamps. And in week 2 of the awesome accountability goal setting sheets, the number went from 3 students to 8 students. So to be clear, 8 out of 20 students had 100% buy-in, 100% success. And I could give you way more data on this because I also have data on who met the goal at 90%, who met the goal at 80%, who met the goal at 60%, right? So we were tracking lots of different things. Because I love data, but I also understand that data doesn't mean shit unless we truly understand the name behind the numbers and where they're struggling and why they're struggling and how they're struggling. So I would try to meet with individual kids too if I noticed that buy-in wasn't working and they didn't have many stickers on their sticker chart. But week 1 was 3 kids. Week 2 was 8 students. Amazing progress. Loved that. So then, as promised, I came to the horseshoe table with those students and we did special stamps and they were super excited and it was amazing. And some of them wanted pictures with their sticker charts and it was fantastic. And then we did it for 1 more week. And I thought, man, 8 students hitting 100% of their goal, 8 out of 20 students hitting 100% of the goal, that is going to be tough to beat. And then week 3 rolled around and 11 out of 20 students. 11 out of 20 students hit 100% of their accountability goals on their sticker charts for week number 3. That is insane. And we know that it takes around 20 days to build positive habits. And after week 3, I was a little nervous on how it was going to go how it's going to go if we just kind of stopped the goal setting process. If I wasn't coming in with stamps every single week, if I wasn't there and the teachers kind of just said like, yay, that was fun for a month. If we stopped doing it, what would happen? Is this now part of a routine? Or do we still need to have these visual goal sheets? What would happen? Well, I'm going to give you some additional data in the second part of this episode. And I also have one other thing that I want to let you know, because I think that this absolutely helped make these students super accountable. We're going to talk about those details in the second part of the episode. When I tell you that these goal-setting awesome accountability charts was an absolute game changer for students, I mean it. It really was. And I think that the teachers that we partnered with on this would argue that it was a game changer for behavior, a game changer for motivation. It helped things go better in class. And those are all huge wins. Well, guess what? During the month of February, I am leading a 21-day, a 3-week course called Game Changers, which is full of ways to motivate students, engage students, to make you as a teacher feel more motivated and engaged, because guess who hits walls? Both students and staff. If you want to be a game changer for kids and learn some new innovative strategies that are easy to implement, super easy to do on a whim, that don't take additional plan time, then the Game Changers 21-day virtual course is for you. Registration is open now for the course that begins in February. You can go to monicagenta.com/courses. That's monicagenta.com/courses. And I'm also going to put a direct link in the show notes. If you feel like maybe you are hitting a bit of a wall on a professional or a personal level, I promise that the Game Changers course could be a game changer for you and your career. Plus, you can earn up to 15 hours worth of official PD credit for your participation. Get signed up before the course fills up by going to monicagenta.com/courses. I would love to have you so you can be an even bigger game changer for your students this year. So this awesome accountability goal tracking went on for 3 full weeks. And again, the numbers went from week 1, 3 kids met 100% of the goal. Week 2, 8 kids met 100% of the goal. And week 3, 11 kids met 100% of the goal. So the numbers were going up, okay? Then we left for break. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know how this is gonna go. We're taking a Thanksgiving break, then we come back for 3 more weeks. It's totally chaotic during that time. Like, those 3 weeks in between Thanksgiving and winter break are just absolutely wild sometimes. Well, I have an update, because during December, I was talking with one of the first grade teachers. And I said, hey, I just wanted to kind of check in from your perspective. Like, how are things going? And she said, it's kind of magical. And I said, oh, girl, tell me more. What do you mean by it's kind of magical? And she said, honestly, so many of the behaviors that we were seeing during that kind of like October, November kind of thing where the newness had worn off, like so many of the behaviors are just kind of gone. I've been emailing parents and communicating with parents about how impressed I am and how much better things are going. And she said, seriously, Monica, I don't know. It's like those goals were magical. And I'm like, love that. Now, is that going to eventually fade here in like, you know, different parts of the school year? Yeah, maybe. January and February can be wild, and that's when maybe you bust these back out, right? This goal setting thing can absolutely be an all school year thing, or as teachers, we can just target specific times when specific situations pop up. But if you're like, I'm kind of curious what some of the goals were, like what did the kids actually set for goals? I want to share some of those with you. Some of the goals were academic, and for some kids, they wanted to hit green light on reflex. For some students, they wanted to achieve 2 lessons per day on Lexia. And I loved it because those were student-driven, but also teacher-driven, and they had to agree on those goals. And so that's amazing. For behavior-based goals, a lot of them were about behavior during PE or specials. And anybody who has ever taught one single student, whether your students are 16 or 6, understand that how students behave during their time in your classroom, especially during like a core subject, versus when they go to PE or specials, the dynamic is absolutely different. And oftentimes it's because we have smaller groups of students during our class periods, and then they go to PE and it's all of the kids together. Or God love our music and band teachers. They're like, yeah, you need to manage 28 students. They come to band and I got 112 kids all at once. You are saints. Okay. You are saints. That's wild to me. But a lot of students and teachers realized, hey, we need to have better behaviors during PE and specials. I am getting reports during, you know, technology time or during library time or during PE time that you're kind of a hot mess express. So let's get that in check. And so kids set those goals and then met them. Another very common one in a first grade lower elementary land is tattling. There were a few students who realized, yeah, I'm kind of a tattletale. Do we still say that? Tattletales? Or are we saying that? Or like they have to go talk to the tattling toad? I feel like that was a thing that the teachers didn't want to hear it, but you could go tattle to the tattling toad. There was just like this random toad in the corner of a classroom and you could tell the toad instead of telling your teacher. I'm not sure if that's still a thing. I'm also not sure if that's best practice, or maybe it's genius. I'm not sure. I'm not judging. If you have a tattling toad in your classroom and it's working for you, judgment-free zone. Okay. Keep the tattling toad. But my point on this is that behavior and academic achievement went in a positive direction because of it. That's amazing. And then you got teachers saying, like, it was magical. Oh, is there anything better? Well, speaking of magical, one of the things that I promised to students was that if they were meeting the goals at certain percentages, that I would come in and I would do a special little trick. Because maybe this is lame. It is probably actually lame. I love doing magic tricks. I do feel like a career choice of mine would have possibly been to be a magician. I love going to magic shows. Like if I go to Vegas or Branson, Missouri, which is the Vegas of the Midwest. Anyone who's been to Branson knows that that's a wild overstatement. But I love magic shows. And I love in my For You page when magicians pop up and are doing magic tricks. And so I love to do that. And so I promised the kids that I would do a little trick, a little card trick, if they met a certain amount. And guess what? I got to come in and do a silly little card trick. I might do an entire podcast episode on creating magical moments in the classroom. I feel like that could be kind of fun. Because, friends, I have to tell you, a lot of the magic tricks that exist out there that blow our minds, that drop our jaws, even as adults, are so simple. They're so simple, okay? I don't want to be the person who's crushing dreams. I'm like, no, it happens because it's magic. But, yeah, it's math. Most of the time, magic is math. And it's been decided just in this moment, I'm going to do a whole episode on using magic in the classroom. But nonetheless, I think that whether you are listening to this goal setting and awesome accountability partner episode as a teacher on a personal level, and you need an accountability partner for something in your classroom, or you need something in the gym, or you need something for some goal that you have, like get you an accountability partner. If you need one, I'll be yours. If you're like, I don't know who I can reach out to, reach out to me on social media. Say, hey, Monica, hello, will you be my accountability partner? And I will. I will set an alarm in my phone and I will reach out to you and be like, hey, how's that goal going? Okay. Secondarily, we could be accountability partners for the entire month of February in the Game Changers course, which is just, it's a course, honestly, full of loving, respectful, passionate teachers who are there for the same reason as you. We want to make things better in education. And so we could be accountability partners for 21 days while you earn PD credits. If you're part of the Game Changers course and registration is still open, you can go to monicagenta.com/courses for that. But maybe this episode has inspired you to create accountability partners with you and a student. Or if you have older students, let me just throw this out here. This is a special tip for maybe upper elementary, junior high, and high school. Have students be each other's accountability partners. Seriously, have them do the exact same thing. Have them set goals with you, but then they check in with a peer. Anytime that they can spend time with friends or have a chat with friends or sit by friends in the classroom, like, those are gonna be huge wins. So maybe if you're like, I don't even know how I would structure that. Well, if you have older students, can you have students being accountability partners with students? And instead of you meeting with every single kid, you're just kind of moderating or facilitating some of those conversations? The answer is yes, because I've done that in a slightly different way with both middle school and high school students, and it friggin' works. Do they respond the same way to stickers? No. But they respond really positively to a Kahoot or Blookit day. They respond really well to, you know, Takis, potato chips, Little Debbie snack cakes, anything that's going to stain their teeth or their fingers. Or they respond really well to non-food-based things, because I understand that we live in a world where some schools are non-food-based reward systems. I support it. I love it. So they respond really well to playing volleyball in the gym, if we meet our goal, having a little knockout tournament outside if we've met the goal. Heck yes. So I guess the really big question is one, do you want to manage behaviors in your classroom? Question two is, are you wanting to actually see positive progress on that behavior management? The answer to that is probably yes as well. Question number three is, are you willing to create a game-changing moment that includes goal setting and awesome accountability partners? If you said yes to all three of those things, the good news is now you have an outline on exactly how to do that from listening to this episode. And the other good news is I'm here to support you on that journey. If you've got questions, if you've got feedback, if you've got anything that I can do to support you, please do not hesitate to reach out. I am wishing you an awesome month of accountability goals. I am wishing you an awesome quarter of accountability goals. And I want you to know that you're a game changer for kids, whether you implement this idea or not. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. But more importantly, thank you for living this teacher life.